Dr. DeVigas is a renowned aesthetic dentist who's passionate about dental photography and digital dentistry. He graduated from dental school in Zurich, Switzerland in 1987, started his own practice in 1990, and served as the editor-in-chief of the International Academy of Aesthetic Dentistry.
Listening to the Smart Dental Student, your source for information regarding dental school and your professional journey, with your hosts Matt Manley and Landon Guy.
Just to kind of break the ice, what kind of got you into dental photography?
Oh, wow. I started dental photography in the analog days. So basically at the dental school, I bought my first, I had already a camera when I was at high school, let's say. So I was always passionate about photography. And then I took my camera, obviously, also to university. And then I got in touch with some crazy guys who were developing special flash systems for analog cameras. And I invested pretty much money, a lot of money. For example, my first macro lens was the 120 millimeter medical from Nikon. That's a 120 millimeter macro lens with a built-in ring flash.
Oh, wow.
And this was almost, let's say, $4,500.
Wow.
Just a lens.
And where, but when
I'm talking 35 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, about when was that? About 35 years ago then.
Yes. And okay. Then I started really shooting with this setup and then switched to the 105 millimeter macro from Nikon, mm-hmm. having a custom flash, a lateral flash built by a guy who really he built these custom flashes for the Swiss and German community of passionate dental photographers. And in 1999, I was lucky to get my first digital SLR. I was one of the first getting hands on the D1, Nikon D1.
Wow.
It came out at the end of 1999 and I got mine in September because I looked into that. We played around with the Nikon Coolpix and stuff in the mid, in the, let's say 1995, 1994 already, always beside shooting the slides still. By the way, I switched completely from analog to digital in 2006.
Oh, wow.
So the first 7 years of my digital career, I still had all my cases on slides. So for the lectures and in the beginning of the 2000s, not many lecture rooms had a projector.
Oh, so that's right.
Stand,
yeah.
The standard equipment was still slide carousels and slide projectors. And so you had to go around with your slides and put them up there. And 2006, 4, 5, 6, around there, digital projection really started taking off.
When you did the slides, I'm assuming the slides were like maybe what, like
24 by 36.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were, now is that, that's
full frame.
Full frame. Okay.
Yes.
And did you, when you did analog, were you like in the red room there, like producing your own?
Yeah.
Did
yeah. No. I had the lab developing my slides because okay. Then you have like a standard also for color reproduction, mm-hmm. always using the same film, always using the same lab that you have a consistency also in the color reproduction. That was important at these days. So everybody had his favorite lab where he sent his films to that the result is what you expected. But it's now, like shooting and waiting for 1 week to see the result.
Wow. That had to be hard.
Yeah, it was fascinating. And then you have to select your shots and maybe do some extra shots because if you shoot something and go on with the with the procedure, with the treatment, it's gone. Mm-hmm. No way to go back. So that's why I always tell people, shoot initial pictures, because they are gone as soon as you start treating your patients. Mm-hmm. The after images can always be taken also 1 year later. You know what I mean? But yeah. The mm-hmm. initial image is
that's
just one chance to do that. And so I have a lot of initial pictures of my patients. And some cases are not like spectacular. So I say, okay, I have the initial one and the final one. Nobody cares about, you know? So, but maybe in some situation, I will have to come back to this special case and say, okay, let's shoot the after to document the process of what I have done with this patient.
Now, you mentioned lecturing. Did you use some of your photography for cases that you shared at the universities there, or what did
Absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely. I started lecturing very early because I was one of the first CEREC dentists.
Oh,
you
wow.
know the CEREC
oh, wow.
technology?
Oh, yes.
I was mm-hmm. the second patient in 1986. When I was a student, they treated me with the prototype of the machine. I have still 5 inlays in my mouth from 1986.
Wow.
They were done by Mark Hürzeler. Mark Hürzeler, maybe you know the name. He's a famous implant guy from Germany, lecturing all over the world. That time he was an assistant at the conservative department, and he did these 5 inlays on me. So the 5 inlays took 16 hours. So it was 2 sessions with 8 hours of rubber dam.
Oh my gosh.
That's how you torture somebody.
Yeah. I was telling him because he had no cavities. And I told him, hey, come on, don't treat me like an animal. I'm a human being, you know, because he was like pushing and doing and all. And at that time, so this was like I was infected by this digital virus, starting with CEREC. I was really one of the first. So far, I have done, I think, 30,000 CEREC restorations.
Wow. Holy smokes.
But this is my passion, you know? And
sure.
And together, along with this, it was digital photography. Then in 2003, I bought all the digital shade-taking devices on the market. It ended up that I wrote a book with Stephen Chu. Maybe you know Stephen Chu from New York, a prosthodontist from New York University. And I wrote 2 books with him about colors, fundamentals of colors, the first in 2003 and the second one in 2010. And it was interesting. The first time I met Stephen Chu was in 2010 when we finished the second book.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. This was interesting. And from there I did a lot of work. So one of my other passions was I was editor in chief of the International Journal of Aesthetic Dentistry for 16 years.
Wow.
So basically I started the journal in 2005 and brought it up. And last year I had some, some issues with the publisher, because it was the publishing company Quintessence, you might have heard Quintessence, mm-hmm. was taken over by the junior. And I had some new ideas. I was telling him, look, we have to go more on social media. We have to promote more things. And then it ended up that I asked him, look, I need $500 to $1,000 a month more budget, not salary, not honorarium, just budget.
Yeah.
And his answer was, okay, then we have to stop. It's like, imagine you come home. Your girlfriend or your wife, or you, let's say your wife asks you, hey, Matthew, I need $100 more just for my, for buying food and stuff. And and your answer is, okay, I want to get divorced.
Oh my gosh.
He will look at you
wow.
and say, come on. I didn't tell you I cheated you with your best friend.
Yeah.
I was just asking for $100 for food. Were they just looking to get divorced? And so this was like a little bit of a frustrating situation. And the journal was also the official publication of the European Academy of Aesthetic Dentistry. And then 6 months later, nobody of the European Academy sent me a thank you email, not even a thank you email. So I decided to step out of the academy. Then they were like, oh, Alessandro, why are you leaving the academy? We want to make you a life member and blah, blah, and so on. I said, no, forget it. I was just waiting for a thank you.
Yeah.
Not for a gift, just for an honest thank you.
Thank you.
Then they had their last meeting, and then during the meeting, they were like saying, he stepped out of the academy, so we don't have to say thank you anymore.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
And I
told them, look, this many, many academies are filled with a group of egos. When they meet, they tap on each shoulder saying, hey, we are cool guys, you know, we are the best. Then they leave, they go home, and Matthew, who's Matthew? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So, and this is, and I told him, look, during the pandemic, I found out that there are the sequence is family first, then my friends, mm-hmm. then my patients, and then all the rest.
Yeah.
And when they were during the pandemic, like, we are missing the old times, having a drink at the bar and blah, blah. And so, if you miss me, give me a call.
Yeah. Show that you care.
If you have your if you and your girlfriend get separated, you have to go to Africa and she stays in the US and you say, I will marry you. Wait for me. And after 12 months, you will call her. And then she say, I married your best friend because you did never call
me.
Never called me. Why should I wait for you? You know what I mean? So it's like, and this is the dental community is very special. And what I feel is that also in the education, the being narrow-minded, being focused on your work is okay, but you should still try to be open to other things. So I see and I feel that a lot of dentists are ending up being closed in their dental offices, trying to make money, because especially in the US, you end up with some debt when you finish dental school. So you have to catch up for this. But this should not be an excuse to close yourself in your dental office, say, I have to work like the hamster in the wheel and spinning fast and fast and fast to make money, forgetting what's happening around you. So this is what I feel that the dental community is. That's why also these academies are full of egoistic people, because they come from their office where they are in a, like in a biotope. They're like in their small world. Then they meet each other. Then they say, there are some so-called friends. Let's have some fun. Yeah. And then they go back to their own thing, which is small and closed.
Yeah.
And rather than being a little bit more open-minded, be more communicative, together we are stronger. And it's not about if I have an idea and say, Matthew, let's do something. By the way, your name is
Landon.
Sorry, because I was talking about Matthew.
I never introduced him. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Because it was blended in quickly, but then I just okay, Len. So it's the fear. A lot of dentists have the fear if they share something, they will lose something, you know, or they don't make, they don't will take profit of what they will do. And this is a misconception. You have to give. And if you give at the end, you will get something. Never start a new project, but saying, hey, Landon, by the way, how much can I get out of this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's okay. I have this, you have this. Let's put the two things together and go to the next level. And then we can think about making money. Mm-hmm. It should never be the first intention to start anything, thinking that, oh, if I share my knowledge, the other person will take advantage of this and I will
lose out.
Yeah. So yeah. This is the sad thing about communication. And communication is the main problem we are facing in the world. Look at the wars happening or anything. Basically, any problem can be scaled down or scaled up being a communication issue. If you know how to communicate, you don't have any problems. Mm-hmm. It's easy. It's easy as that. It's easy as that. And in any situation, sometimes you have to be, it's like our oldest son saying, look, the world is full of deals. It's mini deals, mini macro deals or big deals, but at the end, it's all deals. So you talk to each other and you find a deal. Mm-hmm. Be it that your child is asking, oh, I want a candy, and say, no, candies are not good for your teeth. Okay, let's make a deal. You know, you get one, but then you brush your teeth.
Brush teeth,
so,
yeah.
So basically it's all about talking to each other, communicating and finding a solution, finding a deal. Mm-hmm. And this, if we all would do so, we wouldn't have any problems.
That's true. What do you think are some practical steps those dentists that become trapped in their own work can do to better get outside of that shell? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes completely sense. And the problem starts, and I don't exclude myself. Look at the dentists working in your area. So you open a dentist, you open or take over a dental office in any given town. If it's a really small town out in the West, you might be the only dentist in this town. But let's say if it's a little bit bigger, there are maybe 5, 6, 10, 20, 100, 1,000 dentists around you. They don't talk to each other. So when I opened my office, I went to all other dental offices with a bottle of wine saying, okay, my name is Alessandro. I will open up a dental office. Let's be social. Let's communicate. And that was the only moment where we were social, because there was never any feedback from the other side. So I tried to get in touch with them. And then I say, well, come on. Okay. If you don't want, I don't care. You know, yeah. I started an initiative. I wanted to get in touch with you, but I felt that you don't want. Ah, okay. Nice. Wishing you good luck. And this is really a pity that and for example, I immediately after opening my dental office, I started networking. Let's say networking in the sense finding my personal network that I share with also with my patients. So a patient comes in and I say, okay, you need this special treatment, be it a complex implant solution, a complex endo treatment, a complex perio treatment. I have my network and I mm-hmm. work for many, many years with these specialists that create a big clinic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They are not in my dental office physically, but if a patient comes to my office, I tell him, look, we have this specific problem. And for this specific problem, I have the best solution for you. Yeah. And they accept that. They accept it, because if you as a doctor tell your patient, really, I want the best for you, I don't mind sending you to somebody else, not making any money, mm-hmm. but I want the best treatment for you. And these patients, they stay with you. You know, so you have to find what for me is important. And you are two young dentists or aspiring dentists. Mm-hmm. You have to find, as in social media, you have to find your niche, what you love to do. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was digital dentistry. That was my passion from the very first beginning. And so I really also told my patients, look, this is my passion. And what I'm passionate about, I know that I'm better than the average. And for all the rest, I have my specialists doing whatever you need to get the best treatment possible in my area. There's always another one that might be better or whatever, but what I can give you as an overall treatment. So it's important that you as a general dentist or even a specialist know a little bit what others are doing, that you can inform your patient. So you're doing like the triage. So you accept your patient, you analyze. So this is the most important thing for any dentist, is to get some knowledge, not practical knowledge. So you don't have to do the implant treatment, the complex things, but you have to understand what is this treatment? What is it all about? You can read this, and then you need to be able explaining this to your patients that they understand what you want to tell them. This is important that you have, and it's important to ask your patients, did you understand what I explained to you? And then I use some graphic tools to show them also my ideas of the procedure, that they can take that home. And from there, you build trust. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing. So my patients, they trust me. You know, and this is what you have to build up. This is what you have to build up as a young dentist, that the patient feels good and that you say, well, I know what this treatment is all about, but I don't perform this. And then you get extra confidence from your patient because you accept that you are not the almighty doctor that knows everything, that never fails. It's like in this doctor series on TV, you know, all this good-looking doctor, all women fall in love with him, and he solves all the problems. You know? So this is not that. That's not reality. But at the end, your patients should feel that you love your job, that you have a passion for it, that you care about the patient being the most important part of the whole thing.
What kind of, I mean, it sounded like you enjoyed photography before dentistry, but how did you kind of get drawn into dentistry then on the other side?
Oh, this is an interesting story because my goal was always to become a journalist.
Oh, wow.
That's why I ended up also being the editor-in-chief of this aesthetic journal and having fun with this, because this was like my passion for all the time, to write articles, to be into this journalism thing and connecting with other people, exchanging ideas and things. And the dental photography was the perfect match, because if you're doing something about aesthetics, mm-hmm. documentation, good photography, it's like fashion or whatever. So nice photography is part of a good presentation. And it was also the success of this journal, was the articles were written well, but people were watching or looking at the pictures.
Yes.
As always, you know what I mean? So the goal was to create also an image that dentists or the readers of the journal enjoyed. Dentistry, high level dentistry, aesthetic dentistry presented in a clean, perfect way, because aesthetics, yep. It's like I compare it always. If you go to a car show, there are no dirty cars.
Well, there's mine parked in the parking lot, but
yeah, but in the
I'm not showing it.
But in the exposition, yeah, you always showcase it to the best. Go to a watch store; they put the gloves on when they show you the expensive Rolex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's taking care, showing things in a clean way, and this is also how you should present yourself if you want, also on social media. So this is also a topic. If you think this is a wow case and it's well performed, well photographed, so the documentation is really a key, then you can also share it and show it to others and without the fear of saying, oh, I hope that I'm not getting destroyed with negative comments about my poor quality dentistry. Sure. You know, this is and to get more into the topic of dental photography. Dental photography is the second part of how we analyze our patients. The first part, the very common and well-known part, is X-ray. X-ray, looking through the patient. Photography, scanning, video, all the, let's say, imaging or video possibilities we have is looking at our patient. And the combination of looking through the patient and looking at the patient is what we need for a good documentation, for a good diagnosis, and for a good treatment planning. So that's why photography and scanning, I always put them now together, because what we are doing, the dental photo status of the future is a combination of extraoral images and intraoral scanning. Because intraoral scanning makes it much easier to visualize an arch in all dimensions rather than using mirrors with some patients or having difficulties putting the mirror in the patient mouth, finding the right angle. You see on social media, the patients that have like elephant mouth where you can put
a full mirror in there,
the double size mirror into the mouth and get these beautiful shots. But this is not always the reality.
Yeah.
So basically, if you have an intraoral scanner in your office, it's much easier to combine photography with scanning. So why not? For example, for aligner therapies, we use the screenshots of the intraoral scans as the occlusal and so on images to be uploaded for the treatment planning. It's the same. There's no difference. And at the end, where does a patient care about colors and forms and whatever? It's where he sees his teeth. Mm-hmm. And this is, as I called it once in an editorial, the big six. The big six is from canine to canine.
Yep.
The word is from Africa. So hunting the big six, you know, you heard about that?
No.
The big six is like the lion, the
oh okay,
the elephant, the rhinoceros, the
giraffe, zebra.
Yeah. So the six big animals that, let's say, many years ago a hunter should have shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Later it changed that it's like shooting them with your camera, but the big six can also be transformed into what for a dentist six. Are the big six. It's the front teeth. Mm-hmm. So the dentist or the average dentist today in aesthetic dentistry don't care about premolars and molars. It ends up where the patient says, wow, my smile is from canine to canine, depending maybe sometimes the first premolars, but it ends up the big six are the most important teeth in the patient mouth and are also the most treated teeth. You know, it's like the saying in the US, in Europe, we are trying to match, if we have one discolored tooth, we try to match it with the remaining dentition. In the US, for many years, it was a saying, let's do all of them.
Yeah.
So you can even choose the color you want.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, why color match?
Yeah.
Change the color completely.
Do them all.
Change it completely. It's much easier. It's much easier. You know, it's also, wherever there's a discussion about color matching or color reproduction, we have to face reality. Look at the sales. more than 80% of all brands, be it composite ceramics, is standard color. Be it an A3 or in any other color reproductions scheme, 1M2 or 2M2 in the 3D shade or whatever. So basically, everybody talks about color, but at the end, they select all the same.
Mm. Interesting.
No, that's reality. It's not interesting. It's reality. it's reality. This is something very, very interesting. But you see, I wrote once an article, what is A2? What is the color A2? And then you start looking into different cultures. And then you see, for example, taking CAD/CAM blocks or composite materials, all from the same shade. Take an A2. Take one from Asia. Take one from Europe. Take one from the US. The Asian one is yellowish. The European one is reddish. The American one is whitish.
Ah, interesting. Wow.
And it's the same. The same was also in the films, in the analog films. There was like films used by the Asian dental community, by the European and the US community. There were three different types of slides with the same slight color modifications, be it a little bit more yellowish in the Asian part because yellow is the preferred color of Asia, mm-hmm. being a little bit warmer, let's say, not reddish, but warmer in Europe, and being colder, more white in the US.
US. Wow.
And that's cultural difference. That's why talking about colors is not, you can define some standards and measure it, but it ends up that you have cultural differences. Because at the end, you ask also your patients. And if you ask a patient how he describes or she describes color, it's, they say it's too doctor, it's too dark, or it's too light. They seldom, not often, they say it's too light. They like it if it's light, and then they say, let's match the others to this. Mm-hmm. So light, dark, and doctor, my teeth are too yellow. But the word, my teeth are too yellow or too brown or whatever, then depending on the culture, says my teeth are too dark. I want them look nicer. At the end, it's already the statement. And that's why, for example, the 3D shade guide is based on lightness, on value only. Because this is the only parameter that patients notify. And that's what a shade, 85 to 90% of a shade is made of, is the lightness. So if the value is correct, then you don't see if it's a little bit too yellow or a little bit too red or whatever. That's like a side effect that it's not so important. So these are the important things related to colors and reproduction. That's why the color reproduction, the perfect color reproduction in your photography is not that important. Important is that your photography is consistent. It can be consistent with a small error. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
If you document one patient, all images should look the same. Nobody will check and come to your office and say, wow, but the image you took of Matthew or Landon is a little bit off. Doesn't matter. It has to be consistent. You know what I mean? So if you document a case over the time, it's important that you are consistent, that if you show a presentation of a patient, that the pictures look almost the same. So this is also important, making it professional. And let's back and compare it to X-ray. Your bite wings should always look the same. Your apical radiograph should always look the same. So it's like somebody telling me, oh, I recognize this clinical image photograph. This style is by Dr. whatever. Mm. Say, oh, that is awful. It's like I would say, oh, this is an x-ray Landon took. I know how he's taking x-rays. I mean, no, you should never realize who took an x-ray because there's standards. Mm-hmm. The bite wing has to be taken in a certain way. The apical radiographs have to be taken in a certain way. And the same is for your dental photography. You have to follow standards. And this is the discussion or the ongoing thing. What camera should I use? What lens should I use? What light should I use? Should I go for mobile photography? Mobile photography is very popular with an increasing number of devices with LED lights helping you to take beautiful pictures with your smartphones. The only downside of the smartphone photography is missing standards. Mm. Standards in reproduction, in colors. Maybe now there are some softwares coming up dealing with these issues of color reproduction, of perspective distortion, a lot of things that are not solved in the mobile photography. In dental photography, we have standards, and I will send that article to you. There was a German dentist, Wolfgang Bengel, who published in 1985, so in the analog days, an article about stand. If you Google or if you look on Medline, there's almost no article on standards in dental photography. So the one that you find from 1985, very interesting. And if you read that, it's like today. The only difference is that he was using an analog camera. And today we use a digital camera. It was the same lens. He at that time also, like I explained to you, he was using this twin flash to get a nicer illumination, and the 105 or 100 millimeter macro lens with this defined angles of view, comparing it. It did not compare it with X-ray, but for me, it was like the analogy. Mm-hmm. Be consistent, be standardized as you would do when you document your patient with an X-ray. By the way, did you know that a dentist invented the ring flash?
No.
Oh,
wow. That
was an American one, Lester Dyne. You maybe have heard about Lester Dyne Company. They are still producing flash systems for dental photography. And Lester Dyne in the mid-50s, he invented the ring flash.
Wow.
And then the ring flash was not only popular for dentists, but also for any other macro photographer.
I was going to say a macro photography,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, but this was a dental invention.
Wow.
Yeah, so sometimes dentists are coming up with ideas. So, and this being standardized in your photography is really the key to success, the key to consistency. Consistency is really important in what you are doing. So it has to be reproducible all the time. Again, the easiest, let's say, mind thing to compare, think about X-ray photography. These are the two things that belong together and should follow the same, not the same standards, but follow standards. And in the X-ray, no one on the planet, no dentist on the planet would be opposite or would say, no, we don't need standards. Mm-hmm. It's clear. It's published. It's obvious. We learn it at school. But you never learn at school how to take standardized dental images. Mm-hmm. So this is also something that I'm always highlighting, that we should have more education also, not only the X-ray class, but there should also be a dental photography class. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you have any dental photography training?
We'll have some starting this fall, but
okay.
Is that
I don't
through
know Dr. how in detailed it is.
Is that through Dr. Schlichting?
I think it's
yeah, I know
Dr.
him.
Moberly.
Louis.
Dr.
Louis
Moberly.
Schlichting. Yeah, he's a nice guy. Yeah,
he's been talking to at least me. And I think he even did like a little workshop to show us how to use the cameras in clinic.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I think as far as finding out those standards, are those standards that we would find as students from like a certain articles, or would that be something
yes,
that's
been I can send you this.
That'd be great.
As a starting point. And again, it looks a little bit old school when you look at it, but basically it's you can listen to any specialist in the world. Maybe they repack it in a different way. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the things I realized during my whole career. A good speaker. So there are two kinds of speakers. So one speaker is making an easy thing very complex and very complicated, ending up telling you, visit my workshop, attend my workshop, and I tell you all the secrets. You know what I mean? Selling, yes. selling a workshop or a course or a book. And the honest one tells you, come on, it's easy. It's easy if you follow these steps. Don't overcomplicate. There might be with all things, there's a learning curve, but I can show you how you can do it. It might need some training. For example, if you want to start using a microscope, I would estimate 6 months. You need 6 months to get used really to work with the microscope. So It takes more time than other procedures, but there's no magic. Mm-hmm. There's no magic or there's no hidden secrets. The thing is, if somebody wants to sell you something, then he tends to overcomplicate things, saying, this works in my hands.
And I can show you the magic.
Yes. And I have this, look, these are the magic hands. And if you want to learn the secret, I have a great workshop. It's only $2,500.
Per hour.
Yes. And also dental photography. Look, basically it's easy to learn. You have to get your equipment you have to get a mirrorless camera. You get your macro lens with the 1:1 magnification ratio. You get your flash. If budget is an issue, then you can start with the ring flash. I have published all these kits using Nikon, Sony. Now Sony starts more getting interest. They are weak in macro photography. Realize that, and now. Are starting
to shape up there.
I have a project with Sony. They came to my office.
Oh, wow.
We did a lot of shooting. This will be then on the Sony website. Yeah, I'm a Nikon ambassador for 30 years, you know, but working also with Sony is very interesting because there you have the chance maybe to develop
something new to have
an impact where with Canon or Nikon
they're already on their track.
So there's nothing really you can change there. So basically the dental photography world so far was split mostly into Nikon and Canon photographers because they had the best macro photography equipment. Canon and Nikon. Other companies are catching up with third-party lenses and so you don't have the one-step solution. So Nikon has a macro kit. They have the camera, the lens, the flash. Canon has the camera, the lens, the flash. Sony has the camera, the lens, but not the flash, or not yet the flash. So others, Fuji, Olympus, some cameras are also having some gadget things, but I recommend staying with the big brands that have experience in this kind of photography. And the advantage, if you buy something that a lot of others also have, you also find answer to your questions. If you jump into a system of a no-name brand, then it's the chance is high that there's no one there answering your questions. So yeah. Then you have to go for trial and error and find out by yourself. But if you go for a system that is established on the market, there's a larger community.
More support.
Yeah, more support and more people out there using the same, having the same issues and answering also your questions. So that's why I would not go for exotic things. But again, Sony is catching up. They're interested. Sony is the number one brand for mirrorless cameras. So if you look at the overall market, Canon is still the number one camera producer. But if you take it, 90% of all images taken every day are taken by smartphones. So basically, photography has become like a niche market. I have in my lectures always this slide. In 2011, the worldwide sales of digital cameras was 125 million cameras in 1 year. And then it dropped down to 10 million. When the iPhone was introduced, it really dropped dramatically. So it's becoming more a niche market, but there are still enough photographers buying these cameras, also at good prices, let's say.
Yeah.
So the smartphones will become more important, but still are also their own niche.
Mm-hmm.
So dental photography is a special thing. I think studio photography, a lot of things will still be there and need some special equipment. So the wildlife photographer in the Serengeti shooting the lion from 500 feet different distance, no way doing this with a smartphone. No way.
Mm-hmm.
No way. Or maybe they have to build this super smartphone with this extendable lens of 500 millimeter zooming in the elephant from a large distance. Forget it. So some specific things will be there as in other fields, but overall the market of the photography is a smaller one, a more specialized one, and dental photography is one of these specialties inside the photography market. So this is how I see it. Mobile photography will become more important in the future, but again,
still has those challenges.
If we don't find the standards there, mm-hmm. it's hard that it can replace the classic dental photography using a decent camera, a macro lens, with the 1:1 magnification ratio and the good light. So this is a reality. Maybe in 5 or 10 years we talk different, but again, the main focus of smartphone companies are not dentists.
Mm-hmm. So the challenges that you see with mobile are like the color reproducibility and like the ratio or there's distortion,
the perspective distortion, the aspect ratio using different lenses. Everybody tells you, yeah, you have to use if your camera like the latest iPhone has 3 lenses, use the Porter lens to do this. But then have you also some limitations, how close you can go with this without using any special macro adapters. And so for me, there are a lot of workarounds we need to do. And the problem, if you start doing workarounds, is that you lose standards, that mm-hmm. you do something today and can you do the same in 2, 3, 4, 5 years? That's the point, because mm-hmm. you take pictures of your are seeing them over a longer period. And I want to reproduce the imagery. I want to reproduce the result. I want to have a documentation again, as with my x-rays. Mm-hmm. So if I take an x-ray, you can look at x-rays taken 50 years ago, 70 years ago, 80 years ago, they look the same.
Mm-hmm.
They are still the same over, and they will look the same in the future. And that's also important for your photography to a certain amount, to a certain extent. It's not 100% important. Again, if the scanning technology will evolve further, at the end, we might not need any camera. We just will scan our patients. But today, the quality of the scans is not good enough, or a high quality scan of the whole patient is so expensive that it's not affordable for a dentist. So you have these 3D scans using 60 cameras, but then we are talking about several hundred thousand dollars of an equipment. And even if you would have the money buying this, where are you putting this in your dental office? You know, so at the end, it's like this hype with using soft boxes and a lot of equipment. And then my comment on this is, and where is the patient? With the whole room filled up with all this equipment, where is the patient? Where's the spot or the place for the patient? You know, or talking about hygiene standards and so on and so on. So a lot of things that we really have to take care about that in some circumstances are like, oh, it's not so important. Now I want to shoot this image and I have my whole equipment there and I'm touching it with my hands and cross-infection doesn't matter. So there's a lot of points we need to be careful about.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the photography conference that's coming up?
So basically it used to be a conference. So in 2019, we did the first dental photography conference in Seville, in Spain, beautiful city. We had a lot of fun, people from around the world. It was like a gathering of friends. Then we planned to do the same thing 1 year later in Budapest, wonderful city in Hungary, where our daughter-in-law is coming from. It's really amazing, an amazing city. And then Corona came up. So we postponed it once, we postponed it twice. And let's say two months ago, I decided, look, come on, traveling is getting complicated. Mm-hmm. You see it now, flights are canceled. So people will not be able to attend and so on and so on. So then we say, okay, let's do an online conference. But an online conference over the last 2 or 3 years, we have seen so many online conferences and people are a little bit bored watching online conferences again. Another webinar. So then I came up again related to my collaboration with Sony and Vimeo. You know Vimeo, this video company. Yeah. Vimeo has now a deal with Sony. Then we discussed and we were like, yeah, we have this enterprise solution. This is only $30,000 a month. I was saying, cool.
Yeah, why not?
A little bit out of my budget, $30,000 a month. And then we realized that they have a very cool feature that is called Vimeo OTT. And you can imagine that is like Netflix. So you create your own video channel. And what we are now doing is we will create the first dental photography channel and that's why I contacted now, initially we had like 6 speakers. Mm-hmm. Now I'm already at 30.
Good.
And
right. Okay.
I'm expanding. I will ask even more people to join this project, telling them, look, you can give us your lecture on all topics related to dental photography. We have cool things about shade communication. We will have about social media, about photo and video editing, many things around dental photography. Put it all in this concept, in this channel, and then you can subscribe to the channel or just watch single videos. Then we will tell the speakers, in relation to the success of the click rate of your video, you will get reimbursed.
Oh, wow.
So initially, you have to just give your stuff for free. And if it's successful, and if the channel gets subscribers, then you get a remuneration. So, and I think this is a fair deal.
Oh, yeah.
Because then, and now I'm starting to see that more and more people are interested in joining this new idea. And you can imagine Vimeo works on any smart TV. So you can sit at your home and subscribe to the dental photography channel. That's cool. It's working on any platform, computers, smartphones, smart TV, wherever you cannot go away. You cannot go away of it. You know what I mean? And this, I think, and I saw also the industry now is some companies were saying, no, we will never support your dental photography conference. And now when I talk to them about the dental photography channel, they're showing interest.
Go figure. Ah.
And so now I'm starting promoting. I have some additional meetings now with Vimeo, how to set up the whole thing the best. And the good thing also for the company is very interesting to get statistics, you know, so you see who's subscribing, who's watching,
yes.
who's
mm-hmm.
what. And so
helps you make decisions.
Yes. So that's why, for example, I also promote it, and I'm really thankful the Shofu company with their smart eye special camera. Maybe you have seen that on my Instagram account.
Yeah.
This is interesting. This is a camera that is now in the fourth generation. The fifth generation is coming up next year, and it's very expensive. And it was like not really a big seller in the last years, but during the Corona pandemic, they got like sold out.
Wow.
Because it's $2,600. It's expensive. It's more than a standard dental photography equipment, but you can disinfect it. So the big selling thing was it's hygiene standard conform. Mm-hmm. So you can really put it in your operatory. You can clean it you can disinfect. It's not sterilizing, but you can disinfect
it. Yeah.
What's mm-hmm. not possible with any other camera.
Wow.
So, and this was like a huge selling point. So many, many offices, and it has a nice menu that leads you through the whole process. I was not so happy with the color reproduction, but hopefully
they'll
the next generation
that.
will be better. But overall, again, this is a niche product that has its market. It's performing. I'm happy for Shofu that they are selling this. But at the end, let's say we have like the three things: the smartphone users, the camera, and more now mirrorless camera users with macro lens and flash systems. And inside this camera group, we have the basic shooter mm-hmm. and the more advanced shooter that then are also using like flash brackets. That I show also, I love the old bracket where you can move around the flashes, creating yeah. different lighting
angulation
setups. So these are, if we put these four groups of dental photographers, the smartphone people, the basic dental photography kit user, advanced dental photography kit users, and those who are using alternatives like this Shofu camera. So this is a general overview of what's happening in the dental photography business these days.
And now there's a membership, right, on your website that folks can
yes.
go and sign
yes.
up to get like more
and
detail.
This will be then, and good that you highlight this. So my whole website thing will be migrated into the dental photography channel.
Oh, very
this
good.
Is a huge project.
Yeah.
I will start working on all the content. That's a lot of content I have on this website mm-hmm. will be transformed into video.
Okay.
And then put also on the photography channel. So you can then subscribe. So the subscription will be then for this photo channel.
Okay.
And for the basic subscription, you get access to a certain amount of videos, mm-hmm. then some special stuff can be bought extra.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What's kind of your timeline for getting things migrated? I know everything's kind of fluid, but
no, the kickoff of the channel is September 16.
Really? Okay.
Yes. So I have to hurry up.
Would you mind if we got another episode with you, maybe a week or two, maybe a month after you launch?
Absolutely.
Because we'd love to talk with you about kind of
share my first impressions with
you. Yeah, I think that'd be great. Kind of see how things are looking and what kind of content that you've got. Because I know at least in our class, we have two photographers who, I don't know, Landon is, I know one of them is at least a hobbyist. The other I feel like is kind of hobbyist slash professional photography. Yeah, I feel like she's pro.
She took our pictures. She made us look halfway decent.
Yeah, so for our website.
Yeah, but it's interesting if you tell me this, because a professional photographer that has nothing to do with dental photography gives not the correct advice to a dentist how to take dental pictures, because let's say the portrait photography, okay, but intraoral photography, don't listen to a professional photographer advice, because macro photography, and we are talking about macro photography, is something different and something special that you don't should listen to the advice of a professional photographer telling you that you have to shoot raw, that you have to change your image styles and whatever. Basically, in dental photography, you reduce your camera to the native thing. So you go for neutral color style, so everything looks pale and awful, but it then reproduces the best how teeth and gingiva looks in real life. You don't go for Adobe RGB color space. You stay with the standard RGB. You don't shoot raw, because if your camera is set up correctly, you shoot JPEG. And again, it's like X-ray. The X-ray machine is set up correctly. You push the button and the image shows up. It's not raw images and then you develop or whatever you do. Maybe in digital, you can have these filters to see a little bit better the caries or whatever. But in photography as well, don't overcomplicate things. Mm-hmm. Set up your equipment correctly and then shoot. And out of the camera, you need to have the final result. The raw processing is done in the camera. Whoever will do large scale prints of their dental pictures, 0.0000001%. You know what I mean?
Landon will do it.
Yeah.
Just
you can.
I don't know about
that. Because he's weird like that.
Yeah. You know, you can do it. You can do it. But again, be realistic. What is the use of dental photography? Stick on certain basic guidelines. Make it reproducible. Make it easy to use. Again, make it like the click and shoot of an X-ray. Mm-hmm. It should the click and shoot of a dental photograph, and use them, use your images for documentation, for self-evaluation, marketing, and all this. But the most important thing is documentation, then communication with your patient and your lab. Self-evaluation, very important point, that you look at your pictures and learn from your mistakes that you see. Maybe you see some composite excess that you didn't see when looking at the patient first. And the marketing is then the end thing, what you can use your images for on social media, your website, and whatever.
Well, Doctor, thank you so much for joining us today. I know it's getting late over at your place, but really appreciate you, you know, being willing to talk to us.
Thank you.
No, I can talk for hours. No, I know. I always enjoy, and this was why I also started doing these interviews 2 years ago, ending up doing 60 interviews now or even more with people from around the globe, young dentists, old dentists. Be it Baratieri from Brazil, you may have heard about him. He was a crazy guy talking about love and passion, and it's interesting. All the important guys like Pascal Magne, Baratieri, Michael Appa. I had also Michael Appa from New York, this famous, you know, Michael Appa, this famous dentist with an office in New York, in Beverly Hills, in Dubai.
Oh my gosh.
He took over the office of Rosenthal, who was a famous dentist in New York, still working in his office. So I had all of them. And it's interesting, at the end, I ask them, what advice would you give young colleagues? And the let's say the common sense or the common comment on this was, be passionate about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Love what you're doing. If you don't love what you're doing, then stop doing it. Even so, this is something important, because otherwise you really end up doing a 9-to-5 job without passion, without love, your patient will feel that. And you will ask yourself, why is my dental office not as successful as the one of, so Matthew would say, hey, Landon is more successful than I am. Why? Because Matthew, maybe you don't have the passion anymore. And our patient feel the passion and love you have for your profession. And put the patient in the center of all this. And I'm 100% sure that you will love your profession also for a longer time, because you will have to work some years before you can retire. I'm closer to retirement than you are. So.
But well, Matt's not far behind.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not too far. I'm pretty old.
But this is really important. If you feel you can find your passion again. Sometimes it's like you were like in a trap or in the so-called hamster wheel, going to your office, not really knowing why and not being really motivated. So it's important if you feel that to get remotivated again, talk to friends, talk to colleagues, talk to your family, because sometimes it's also talking to your friends or wife or husband saying, look, I feel a little bit exhausted. I don't know. And so on. And then find support in your family. So this is really important. So the most important social media network is your family. It's not Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok or whatever. The most important social media network is your family. Keep that in mind. And then you have your friends. And if this works, then you can get a lot of problems solved that help you being again successful in your profession. So this is these are my final words for this session of today. And I'm really looking forward meeting you guys again in end of September, October, November, talking about the Dental Photography Channel and how this project is going on. And I'm sure that it will be successful.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You have been listening to The Smart Dental Student. The views, information, and opinions expressed during this recording are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent the organizations that the individuals are affiliated with. If you enjoyed the content of this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at Smart Dental Student or visit our website for more information at smartdentalstudent.com.